My Touch Magnifies. Written by Isozyme. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, word of honor. Rating, explicit. Relationships, Wang Keqing, Zhou Zixu. Also, Wang Keqing, Yu Baiyi, Zhou Zixu. Also tagged for sex pollen, fuck or die. Threesome, male, male, male. Does it count as a threesome if one part is a reluctant dick on loan? Past sexual trauma slash assault. Triggered during sex. Dubious consent. Sex tears. Erectile dysfunction as a plot point. Felching. Wang Keqing's childhood trauma. Zhou Zixu's inability to be nice for more than 30 seconds at a time. Yu Baiyi's lovely personality. And set during episode 17/18.
I remember all of the things that I thought I wanted to be. So desperate to find a way out of my world and finally breathe. Right before my eyes I saw my heart, it came to life. This ain't easy, it's not meant to be. Every story has its guise. When the pain cuts you deep and the night keeps you from sleeping, just look at you, we'll see. I will be your remedy.
The weather on the road to Longyuan Pavilion is perfectly reasonable. If one isn't a lazy, thick-kneed disciple who's still learning his steps. Zhou Zixu has been forced on marches where men lost toes. Some even saw the tips of their noses turn black and wither. He sweated laced inside armor until it soaked through the seams. This is pleasant. Wang Keqing, for all his obnoxious preening and posturing, rarely complains. Zhou Zixu notes that it's odd when Wang Keqing remarks on the heat, then loosens his collar. He has even less patience than usual for Yu Baiyi. If the senior so much as looks sideways at Wang Keqing, he bursts into an outpouring of insults about Yu Baiyi's mother, his sect, and his upbringing. Yu Baiyi takes the opportunity to look sideways at Wang Keqing even more than usual. By midday, Zhou Zixu is considering strangling them both. It would be educational for Cheng Ling to learn how to use a garrote. An hour later, and Wang Keqing is even more irritable. He swats at himself, then accuses Cheng Ling of choosing a log full of ants for them to sit on while they ate. Cheng Ling shakes out his own clothes, looking seriously for insects, and finds nothing. Which makes Wang Keqing puff up like an offended chicken and stomp off ahead. It's enough unlike him that Zhou Zixu suggests a rest. Wang Keqing snaps his fan open and glares at Zhou Zixu over the edge of it. You can't trick me into sitting on more ants, he says waspishly. I'm fine. They travel until almost nightfall. Cheng Ling drops the basket carrying Long Xiao on the ground. The squall of outrage from inside has them all half-jumping out of their collective skins. Cheng Ling apologizes profusely and explains that his muscles feel like moldy straw, but it wasn't his intention to make anyone uncomfortable. The comedy of it all keeps Zhou Zixu distracted until Wang Keqing staggers directly into a tree and sags against it, face pale and chest heaving. La Wen, Zhou Zixu says, hurrying over. It's nothing, Wang Keqing insists. Then he coughs and tugs at his collar. Nothing. I'm fine. Eh? What's that? Yu Baiyi asks, always invested in watching Wang Keqing suffer. He sniffs, unimpressed. Liar, you look like a pig's ass after a tough shit. Wang Kasheng opens his mouth to insult him back, but is interrupted by a fit of retching coughs. Long Xiao starts to laugh. It's not a nice sound. Zhou Ziju stalks over to the basket and flicks open the lid. Long Xiao smiles greasily up at him. To release infernal heat, else it devour the flesh before he sleeps. Lie with him to save his life, but make sure his place is the wife's. Long Xiao says, rocking his head back and forth, along with the sing-song cadence of his voice. He then pulls an empty paper wrapper from where it was tucked into his belt. Someone ate something he shouldn't have this morning. Unlucky boy. Josuju snatches the paper from his hand. There's traces of white powder still clinging to it. If Josuju could still smell or taste, he would have been able to identify it better. But as it is, he can only rub it between his fingers and try to guess from its texture. An aphrodisiac, he presumes, but can't be sure which. One with noxious consequences, if not allowed to run its natural course. Without knowing exactly what the poison is, Josuju can't give Wang Kasheng an antidote without possibly picking one that will interact badly with what Long Xiao has given him and making it worse. Now that he knows what he's looking at, it's obvious to Zhou Ziju that Wang Kasheng is feverish from sexual desire. Does Shushu need to get married? Chengling asks. He glances between Zhou Ziju and Wang Kasheng and makes a hopeful face. When he grows up, Zhou Ziju's disciple is going to be an unstoppable matchmaker. Zhou Ziju pats him heavily on the shoulder and shakes his head. No. He says, no weddings. Your Shushu has probably cried at every marriage ceremony he's attended, and I don't have the stomach for that. Wang Kasheng wheezes a laugh and then almost falls over. You're half right, Ashu. Half right indeed, he says, barely able to catch his breath. Someone always cries when I come to a wedding, but I dare say it's never been me. Oh. Chengling says, crestfallen. I'll cry at my own wedding, Wang Kasheng says, tears of joy as I imagine spending the rest of my life in matrimonial bliss with the one who knows me best. She would also cry, Zhou Ziju fires back, not from joy, but from dread. Ah, Shu, Wang Kasheng complains, you would begrudge me a happy bride? Or groom? Shameless, Zhou Ziju scolds. They're teasing each other like nothing is wrong, but the movement of his fan betrays Wen Kixing's mood. It's sweeping back and forth with rapid, agitated flicks of his wrist. There's sweat on his temples, and as Zhou Ziju watches, he licks his teeth and spits pink-tinged saliva onto the ground. He's angry and trapped and aroused, and Zhou Ziju wishes he could comfort him. From Wen Kasheng's expectant look, he also wishes for Zhou Ziju to comfort him in exactly the way Long Xiao's crass rhyme suggested. They've rolled into bed 3 times, and Wen Kasheng has no reason to think it's anything but a matter of time until they move beyond hands and mouths. It would be so easy. Were it not for Josuju's wretched body, failing him at every turn. Josuju hasn't been able to function like a man since the 3rd or 4th nail. He doesn't know when it started, precisely. During that period, he hadn't been particularly interested in pleasuring himself or a partner. And by the time he noticed, it was impossible to remember exactly when it had slid from a lack of desire into lack of ability. The first time Zhou Ziju had knelt between Wang Kasheng's legs and lovingly sucked him off, he'd hoped that seeing Wang Kasheng's open, wondering expression would be enough to make him hard. He'd put a hand on himself under his robes and rubbed, but got nowhere. He let Wang Kasheng finish messily across his lips and chin, then buried his face in the warm-smelling crease of Wang Kasheng's thigh and pretended to come. The second time, Wang Kixing laughed at him for spending in his robes again and called him a boy paying his first visit to a brothel. Eyes too big for his stomach. The most recent time, they'd been nightmarishly drunk atop a roof, dusted in starlight, and Zhou Zizhu showed Wang Kixing how to urge gently with his hands and his hair. He'd blamed the wine that night. He still wants. He takes Wang Kixing apart with touch alone, filled with wants, dangerous and honey sweet. Being touched and held is still good, but it's duller than before. Like he's feeling the world through a thick coat of drying clay. And no matter how much he kisses Wang Kixing's thin, clever mouth, nothing stirs between his legs. Wang Kixing snaps his fan shut, then opens it again to needlessly straighten the ribs. Yu Baiyi breaks in, bored with all the weighty eye contact passing back and forth between Wang Kixing and Zhou Zizhu. You idiot. He chuckles at Long Xiao. He was already panting for someone to have him like a bitch before you poisoned him. You're doing us a favor by encouraging these two soup for brains to go off into the woods and fuck their feelings out. Wang Kixing swears at Yu Baiyi, then threatens to pluck his eyebrows bald. Cheng Ling blinks as he takes in the scene with round eyes. Long Xiao smiles, showing off his full set of adult teeth, eerily out of place in a child's face. Zhou Zizhu feels sick to his stomach. He wishes he could be drunk. Yu Baiyi is a little quicker on the uptake than the rest. He notices that Zhou Zizhu's expression has chilled from worry and shoots him a questioning look. Cheng Ling, Zhou Zizhu says calmly, take young Master Long at least half a mile back the way we came and practice forms 1,000 times or until someone comes to fetch you.
1,000?
Cheng Ling asks, his eyes growing even rounder. Make certain you follow the exact footsteps Yi Chumbei showed us on the way.
Is Wen Shushu going to be okay?
Make sure you practice running steps going both uphill and downhill, Zhou Zizhu tells him.
But 2,000.
With a grumble, Cheng Ling heaves Long Xiao's basket back over his shoulders and trudges off.
Don't round your shoulders while you carry something. Distribute your weight, Zhou Zizhu shouts after him.
Wang Kixing makes a sound. When Zhou Zizhu looks, he's scratching at the back of his wrist, hard enough to draw blood. Zhou Zizhu hurries to his side and pulls his hands away from himself.
Rotten bugs, Wang Kixing says stiffly.
It's true that Wang Kixing's skin is twitching like a horse plagued by flies, but there aren't any insects on him. It's the poison making him itch and squirm. Zhou Zizhu takes Wang Kixing's free hand in both of his own and unfolds his fingers so they're no longer curled inwards like claws. He presses his palm flat against Wang Kixing's to keep him from promptly returning to how it was before. Stubborn man. Wang Kixing glances from Zhou Zizhu to Yu Baiyi and back again. He smiles like a fox, leans in, close to Zhou Zizhu's ear.
Are you going to let the old goblin watch?
He asks, with a laugh that sounds forced. Dread swells in Zhou Zizhu's gut as he's forced to confront the simple math. Two men, one working prick. If Wang Kixing is to live, Yu Baiyi will need to do more than observe.
Do you hate me so much you would see me perish rather than lie with me?
Wang Kixing asks, voice sharpening.
Ashu, so cruel letting me die like this.
Wang Kixing doesn't understand, yet, that some of the cruelest things Zhou Zizhu has ever done were because he refused to let someone else die. He rolls his eyes up, stares at Wang Kixing through his lashes.
I'm prettier than you. Aren't you reaching above your station?
Ashu! Wang Kixing snaps. He tears his hand away and goes back to scratching. He's hurting because he doesn't know yet why they can't do this the easy way.
Josishu needs to put him out of his bewildered misery, but it's so mortifying to explain. He doesn't know how to do it. It would be so much easier to run away. Lao Wen, Josishu says, and tips his head so that Wen Kaxing has to meet his eyes. He holds his gaze, silently asking Wen Kaxing to trust him. After a stone-faced moment, Wen Kaxing's expression softens and he nods fractionally. He knows he's safe with Josishu. A cough comes from behind them as Yu Baiyi reasserts his presence. There's no nasty little traps within a 30-foot radius of this spot, he says dryly. Hopefully you won't need more space than that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'd rather have my own set of 7 nails than watch the rest of this play out. Wen Kaxing lurches forward half a step, teeth bared in fury. Josishu raises a hand and puts himself between them. To his relief, they both stop. He doesn't have the strength to separate them if they truly go for each other's throats. With a smile that feels more like a rictus than a grin, Josishu turns to Yu Baiyi. Yu Qianbei, if I may ask a question. Yu Baiyi rolls his eyes. In your advanced years, do you still find yourself strong in masculine vitality? Josishu asks politely. Yu Baiyi snorts so hard he almost breaks out coughing. His eyebrows climb halfway to his hairline. I didn't know Qin Huaicheng's disciple was so thick-faced. What is it? Do you think that I want to fuck your idiot soulmate? Or are you so limp-dicked you need me to take your place? His lip curls in a sneer that's becoming tiresomely familiar. Josishu stares at Yu Baiyi and doesn't refute him. Yu Baiyi's eyes widen in alarm. You're impotent, Yu Baiyi says. Josishu is grateful that he doesn't pose it as a question. Wen Kaxing throws his head back and laughs. There's nothing wrong with lovely Ashu's dick, or any other part of him, he says. I've had sex with him. I would... Then Wen Kaxing stops. We've had sex, he says, looking to Josishu for reassurance that isn't going to come. And when we're together, you... You said, he says, then halts again. I'm sorry, Josishu says softly. You said you enjoyed it. You said it was good, Wen Kaxing said, eyes growing wild. Josishu darts forward and catches both of Wen Kaxing's hands by the wrists to keep him from lashing out. Wen Kaxing puts up a struggle, but not enough to break free. It was good, Josishu promises. He tilts his head, hoping to soothe Wen Kaxing with a kiss. But Wen Kaxing turns his chin up and to the side, unreachable. Josishu kisses his throat instead, then tucks his face into the crook of Wen Kaxing's shoulder, dropping his wrists in favor of wrapping his arms around him. Wen Kaxing is rigid as a board against him. I wanted to enjoy what we could have without you worrying over what we could not. I'm sorry. Wen Kaxing's voice is watery and uneven in reply. So even at the end, it was all an act. When were you going to tell me, Josishu? I'm sorry, Josishu says again. It's as if his tongue has forgotten all other words. He doesn't know when he'd planned to tell Wen Kaxing. Maybe he'd planned to die before he had to admit his shortcomings and deceit. Fuck you, Wen Kaxing swears at him, soft but fervent. He beats one fist weakly against Josishu's chest. Fuck you and fuck your pride! With Wen Kaxing so close, Josishu can feel against his hip that he's still physically aroused, poison potent in his veins. What a stupid thing to die from. I'll do it, Yu Baiyi says at last, voice strong and flat. Wen Kaxing startles. Josishu feels the flinch through his entire body. Yu Baiyi looks Josishu up and down. So, you staying? Wen Kaxing's hands instantly knot in a white-knuckled grip on Josishu's collar. Yes, Josishu says. A Zhou Zixu's agreement when Kaxing lets go of him. Then a terrible thing happens. Wen Kaxing twitches his clothes straighter, preens his hair a little bit, and turns seductive. Wen Kaxing knows how to flaunt himself, how to act desirable. He's turned the skill on Zhou Zixu enough times as a joke or a provocation. But Zhou Zixu's never seen him do it with so little of himself present behind his eyes. Wen Kaxing disentangles himself from Zhou Zixu and sashays a step towards Yu Baiyi. Who would have thought you've been teasing me because you're harboring a yen for my body? Wen Kaxing says, voice barely trembling. Titch, titch, you old ghoul. You should have asked outright. Yu Baiyi rolls his eyes up to the heavens as if pleading for guidance. Insulting you is a pastime. Sticking my dick in your ass is a favor. Don't make me regret offering. What is there to regret? Wen Kaxing asks and tosses his hair. We'll need supplies. I have them. Arrange yourselves however you like. Yu Baiyi says, instead of responding to Wen Kaxing's display. Zhou Zixu doesn't know if he's surprised or not that Yu Baiyi travels with the required items for betting men. He resolves not to think of it while Wen Kaxing is standing stiff and needy beside him, antsy with misery. Together they find a flat stretch of ground, a little ways away from the path for propriety's sake. No one will come to this remote place, but it would feel too brazen to fuck in the middle of the road, where so many feet had previously tread. Better to be hidden by the trees while they do what's necessary. Wen Kaxing stares into the distance for a tense moment, then resolutely places his hand on his belt and starts to strip. Zhou Zixu doesn't say, you don't have to do this, because it would be cruel when they do actually have to. Offering a choice when there isn't one is no kindness. While Wen Kaxing disrobes, Zhou Zixu pulls aside branches and kicks through leaf cover to check for hidden spots or more bits of human bone that would make Wen Kaxing uncomfortable. He lays out Wen Kaxing's robes on the ground as he sheds them, layering on top a few of his own spares to make the best approximation of a comfortable bed he can manage. Wen Kaxing lies down with a flourish, long and bare and beautiful. He pulls his hair over one shoulder, finger combing through the silky fall of it, making himself more alluring. Zhou Zixu realizes that he's never seen Wen Kaxing naked. In their handful of trysts, he's kept himself mostly covered, and it hadn't seemed strange that Wen Kaxing did as well. Wen Kaxing is hard and flushed with blood, and Zhou Zixu wishes he could take him in his mouth and work him to his finish before Yu Baiyi can return and break them apart. He wants to feel Wen Kaxing's muscles strain under his hands and hear his voice go rough and strangled with pleasure. But he can't. Because if Wen Kaxing comes for Zhou Zixu, what comes next won't be pleasant at all. Carefully, Zhou Zixu kneels down next to him. For a moment, Wen Kaxing's eyes roll away from him, the whites showing in crescents like those of a nervous dog. Then he's back, smirking up at him and cocking his hips. Zhou Zixu lays his palm against Wen Kaxing's sternum. It's hot and sticky with sweat. His heart beats in a stuttering rhythm. Do you like it? Wen Kaxing asks with one of his sharp smiles. Zhou Zixu hesitates. He doesn't like the way Wen Kaxing is baring his neck like a challenge. He doesn't like the feverish way Wen Kaxing's skin flinched under his touch. But the thought of making love in the woods, the two of them, is good. Being able to see Wen Kaxing's unblemished chest is good. Ashu. Wen Kaxing whines. He arches his back, pushing his chest into Zhou Zixu's hand. Am I too skinny for you? You're too vain, Zhou Zixu says. With reason, Wen Kaxing says, gesturing at his body. Zhou Zixu obliges him and looks. It's a fine form. Tell the truth. Tell me I'm beautiful.
When Zhou meets Wen Keqing's eyes again, he sees the genuine need under the demand and softens. He strokes Wen Keqing's stomach with light fingers, without breaking eye contact, and smiles. Lao Wen is very beautiful. Wen Keqing makes a pained noise, sudden and broken, and then throws his arms across his eyes.
Not like that,
he whispers. Then how? Zhou Zixu asks. Wen Keqing's fists tighten, and he brings his knees together like he wants to curl in on himself. But before he's formulated a response, Yu Baiyi returns, crunches through the leaf litter, holding a pot of oil and a rolled pack. Yu Baiyi scans Wen Keqing's naked body, and Zhou Zixu resists the urge to lay himself over Wen Keqing to block Yu Baiyi's evaluating gaze.
Not bad, Yu Baiyi says with a jerk of his chin.
To Zhou Zixu, he says, you could do worse. You couldn't do better, Wen Keqing snaps and puts on his preening smile, the one that shows all of his teeth.
I am a rare flower, blooming for a single night each year under the full moon. You should be thanking Long Xiao for your good fortune.
Yu Baiyi snorts. Insufferable. You should be grateful for the help since your lover can't get it up for your hidden flower. Spread your knees, brat. I promise I'll give you a reach around. Wen Keqing's answering expression is one of a killer. Zhou Zixu moves quickly and inserts himself between Wen Keqing and Yu Baiyi. He touches Wen Keqing's cheek, runs the back of his knuckles along the line of his jaw until the steel in his eyes dulls. Zhou Zixu is here. He's the one who will know what this does to Wen Keqing. Yu Baiyi can't intrude on that. There's a rustle and the feeling of motion behind him, and Wen Keqing's muscles clench as Yu Baiyi touches him for the first time. Zhou Zixu looks to see Yu Baiyi wedging the pack under Wen Keqing's hips. His face is very tired in the falling gloom. Yu Baiyi sighs and pats the side of Wen Keqing's knee, like he's soothing a horse before throwing a saddle over its back.
I won't hurt you,
he says, voice level and distant. Zhou Zixu has the odd sense that he's staring off at the place where the moon would shine if it hadn't waned to nothing the night previous.
This is something I know how to do.
Then he ties back his sleeves and undoes his layers of white robes. There's the familiar wet sound of a man working himself briskly to readiness.
Don't tell me if it's bigger than mine,
Wen Keqing says with a brave grin.
Yu Baiyi crowds close, and Zhou Zixu feels him push forward through the conduit of Wen Keqing's body. Abruptly, Wen Keqing yelps and kicks Yu Baiyi in the side.
You said it wouldn't hurt, he accuses.
If you would relax, Yu Baiyi snipes back.
Have you done this before? Zhou Zixu asks, afraid of a possibility he hadn't considered before, that this might be new, in addition to being unwelcome.
Many times, Wen Keqing says.
Between his legs, Yu Baiyi swears quietly at him and does something with his hands that makes Wen Keqing hiss through his teeth. Zhou Zixu is relieved.
Then you know it will feel good soon enough.
I do, Wen Keqing says, voice small. Zhou Zixu furrows his brow, but Wen Keqing squeezes his hand in reassurance.
I do, he says, more certain.
Then he gasps, and Yu Baiyi makes a satisfied noise.
There, found it.
Good, Zhou Zixu says. That's better. Wen Keqing nods, eyes glassy, as Yu Baiyi moves his fingers within him. Zhou Zixu strokes his hair and lets Wen Keqing burrow closer to him. He shifts them together, earning an annoyed grunt from Yu Baiyi when it disturbs his work. It's worth it to bundle the top half of Wen Keqing's naked, flushed body into his lap. Wen Keqing buries his face in Zhou Zixu's stomach and clutches his clothes tight.
It hurts less, Wen Keqing says, muffled but audible.
It's good. It's good.
I'm glad, Zhou Zixu says, letting wry fondness creep into his voice. Who would have known the great and generous Wang Kaxing was such a tight ass? Is this your secret? Do you keep your purse up there? After this, I'll know how to make you pay for our dinners more often. You should be the one paying to watch, Wang Kaxing says. I'm magnificent. If you're so magnificent, I'll sell you to Yu Qianbei to recoup my losses. The old geezer can't afford me. I'll give him a loan. Wang Kaxing punches him weakly in the thigh and shakes out a laugh, and Zhou Zizhu's shoulders unknot a fraction. He allows himself to enjoy the sight of Wang Kaxing ready to be fucked, the way sweat sheens his shoulders and the quiver of his thighs. This part, with his hands, Zhou Zizhu can do even with the effects of the seven nails sapping his vitality. If he'd had the presence of mind, he could have done this part. Wang Kaxing would have relaxed easier for him. But Yu Baiyi is capable, and Zhou Zizhu doubts that he'd have been willing to give Wang Kaxing over to someone else after touching him so intimately. Here we go, Yu Baiyi says. Wang Kaxing lets out a pitchy moan as Yu Baiyi enters him successfully at last. It's good, it's good, Wang Kaxing says a few more times. Yes, Zhou Zizhu says, and strokes his hair. Wang Kaxing is soft like this. He's gone slack and accepting. The tense hunger he carries every waking hour bled out of him. It's surprising. Their other times together, Wang Kaxing has been grabby and eager. Zhou Zizhu supposes being had in this way affects all men differently, and Wang Kaxing is no exception. He can't let himself mourn not being able to do this with Wang Kaxing in the future. He'll appreciate what they can have, not chase fantasies. And Wang Kaxing keeps taking uneven, oddly spaced breaths, and Zhou Zizhu worries he's going to make himself dizzy. Zhou Zizhu finds his ear in the mess and tugs gently on it. Don't forget to breathe, philanthropist Wen, he says fondly. There's plenty of air to go around. Wang Kaxing is still and silent beyond another gulping breath. Don't be shy with me now, Zhou Zizhu chides, jostles him gently, then less gently. Unsettled, he pulls back the curtain of Wang Kaxing's hair to reveal his face, which is utterly blank. Wang Kaxing, Zhou Zizhu cries and shakes him hard enough to rattle his teeth. Finally, Wang Kaxing's eyes roll upwards, focus on him. It's nothing, Wang Kaxing says dully. I've done this before. Heaven should strike Zhou Zizhu down where he sits. He's made a terrible mistake, and Wang Kaxing is... His Wang Kaxing, his! Stop, let him take a break, Zhou Zizhu tells Yu Baiyi, who hasn't let up his pace. Yu Baiyi slows but doesn't cease, his expression grim. Stop! Zhou Zizhu shouts, heart in his throat. Can't you see what it's doing to him? Of course I can, Yu Baiyi replies acidly. I'm the one doing it. Zhou Zizhu feels the cold cloak of assassin settling over his soul. He'll die if he takes on Yu Baiyi, even if Yu Baiyi is half naked with his cock hanging out of his white robes. It doesn't matter. He shifts Wang Kaxing off his lap, ignores the forlorn noise it draws from him, and rises to a crouch. His sword is 15 feet away. Useless. You monster, he spits at Yu Baiyi. Don't be so soft-hearted, Yu Baiyi shouts back at him and cuffs him in the side of the head. Zhou Zizhu rocks back, vision dancing with black spots. Do you want him to die? He's tough, Yu Baiyi says. This little fool said it himself. Worse has happened before. No, Zhou Zizhu says, tasting blood in his mouth. No, no, we can't. You can't. Yu Baiyi says, brutally calm. That's fine. You've seen so little, Grand Disciple. Your sentimentality is intact. If you can't stand to watch what must be done, go find your young charge and wait for me. No, Zhou Zizhu says. Then let me get this over with and help him if you can. Wang Kaxing is in a bad way, eyes wide and teeth gritted. Josachu worries they're going to permanently damage him, trying to save him. Josachu wishes Yubai could pull out and give them a moment, but there's nothing within his power to force that to happen. So he sinks back down next to Wang Kasheng and smooths his thumb over his hairline. "Tell me if you need it to end," he whispers. "It's just my body," Wang Kasheng says through his clenched teeth. "It's not so important." He's wrong. Of course it's important. The things that a body has done to it. Josachu has done worse to his body than most, and he knows it's impossible to torment flesh and bone without wounding the heart and mind. Josachu wonders if he will be in Wang Kasheng's nightmares in the nights to come, and if he'll fail to protect Wang Kasheng over and over again. "Do you want to cover your eyes? If Wang Kasheng can't see, maybe they can both pretend this is the thing they both want but can't have." "No," Wang Kasheng says, abruptly sharp and present in the strength of his refusal. "Don't do that to me," he pleads, clutching at Josachu's sleeves. It's the first thing he's refused the whole ugly night. Josachu folds over him and kisses Wang Kasheng the way he wants to, soft, deep, and giving. Wang Kasheng turns his head away, jerky with want and denial. "I don't need you to do things you don't want to comfort me. I'm not so delicate," he says with a breathy laugh. "The old ghoul with his ancient pecker in my peerless ass said it himself. A rare compliment that a lesser man might treasure." It's a weak swing at levity, but Josachu knows what Wang Kasheng's armor looks like, and he'd rather receive 1,000 cuts than puncture that fragile shield. Instead, Josachu kisses him again, putting his hands in his hair and rocking them together in time with Yubai's thrusts. Wang Kasheng's mouth starts out cold, but his lips warm under Josachu's mouth. He wants to kiss Wang Kasheng feverish. He'd kiss him until they were both dizzy and tender and gasping against each other. Wang Kasheng starts to cry as Josachu kisses him. Tears leak from his eyes and run down his temples. Josachu wipes them away with his thumb and kisses the places he's just dried, new tears wetting his lips as they fall. A sob wrenches its way out of Wang Kasheng's chest, and he drags Josachu's mouth back to his own, biting his way into a wet, halting mouth. "I should stop crying," he says. "I can. I can." "You don't have to," Josachu says. "Not for me." Yubai makes an exaggerated retching noise. "Could you two stop being gross? Watching you idiots romance each other is going to make my dick soft." "Respectfully, Yu Chanbei, your role doesn't require you to speak," Josachu says. "You could offer me a blindfold at least." Josachu doesn't dignify that with a response. "Can I tell you what I would do if it were me?" Josachu asks Wang Kasheng instead. "Do you want to know how I imagine you?" "Yes," Wang Kasheng says, then swallows and glances away with a small, damp smile. "As long as you imagine me very handsome." "I'm ignoring this," Yubai says loudly. "I like to kiss during," Josachu says, leaning close so that Yubai will be less likely to hear and provide more color commentary. "It's nice to be inside someone, but it's nicer to be close, to touch them and move with them." "Yeah?" Wang Kasheng asks, full of fearful hope. Josachu lies down and stretches out all along Wang Kasheng's side, pressing their torsos together as much as he can without disturbing Yubai. "Like this," he says, and finds Wang Kasheng's hands to tangle their fingers together. Then he leans over and kisses Wang Kasheng, flexing his muscles so he can roll his pelvis, slow and languid, against the side of Wang Kasheng's hip. "Even this much feels good," he says against the corner of Wang Kasheng's mouth. "You're not getting anything out of that," Wang Kasheng says. He sniffs hard, and Jozeju suspects there are more tears coming. Jozeju laughs gently in his ear. Silly, he says, and trails his free hand down to touch Wankishing's swollen cock with a dry finger. Wankishing arches up, gasping. See, I would watch that 1,000 times. He tries, gently biting Wankishing's earlobe, and gets a whiny moan. I like that sound, he tells Wankishing. He touches the sticky spot on Wankishing's stomach where his cock has been leaking, then draws a small wet circle beneath Wankishing's navel. That one, too, Jozeju says, when Wankishing swallows loudly and squeezes the hand tangled in his with a bruising force. If we made love, I would want you to make those sounds. For me inside you, or you inside me, I don't care. Make love? Yibai groans. I hate you. Shut up, Jozeju says. Ah, Shu, Wankishing says. Do you want that, Lao Wen? Do you want to make love? We could, if you didn't mind seeing my body being unready.
I would never mind. Wankishing swears. Never!
I despise you both. I should have cut my idiot disciple's fingers off before he passed on his sword to someone this horrible. Yibai says. Jozeju rests his forehead against Wankishing's. Yibai's methodical thrusts make their heads knock together awkwardly, but Jozeju steadies them the best he can. Let me just... Jozeju says, and reaches for Wankishing's cock again. It's too dry to pleasure him properly. Not if they want to be comfortable. Yu Qianbei, would you share your oil so it would be easier for us to make love? Jozeju asks. Yibai opens his eyes, scowls, and after a moment of shuffling, dumps some unceremoniously into Jozeju's palm. Many thanks. Yibai grunts in reply and takes Wankishing's hips again in both hands. His eyes fall shut once more as he settles into a slightly hungrier pace, the corner of his mouth lifting in a satisfied curl. When Jozeju slides his fist up and down around Wankishing's cock, he receives a beautiful whimper. He does it again, finding the underside of the head and rubbing delicately.
Fuck's sake, Ashu!
Wankishing says. He squeezes his eyes shut, making tears sparkle on his lashes.
If you're not careful, you'll make me like this.
You're allowed to like it, Jozeju says, heart in his throat. Of course you're allowed to like it. He kisses Wankishing more as he strokes him, trying to convince him physically as well as with words. For a while, everything is awash with heavy breathing, the needy rocking of sex. Yibai's hips abruptly rabbit forward a few times. The trees around them shudder with a friction of power as the immortal comes inside Wankishing without any additional warning. Wankishing makes a face when he realizes what's happened, then sighs in obvious relief. Before pulling out, Yibai grabs one of Wankishing's wrists and checks his pulse. Whatever he finds satisfies him, because he then shimmies backwards and tucks himself back into his clothing. All done, Yibai declares. He pauses and considers Wankishing and Jozeju. Do you want that promised reach around, or are you...
If you touch him again tonight, I'll kill you, Jozeju says pleasantly.
Wankishing laughs. Genuine at last. Equal parts graceless and endearing.
So jealous, Ashu, he says, and strokes the tips of Jozeju's hair.
Fabulous. I'll go find your pet idiot then, Yibai says, and makes himself scarce so quickly Jozeju can't even tell what direction he's headed off in. Do you feel better? Jozeju asks into the following silence. Wankishing thinks for a moment, taking long, steadying breaths. His naked chest rises and falls, and Jozeju watches the muscles slide over his ribs with helpless interest. He's too fascinated with Wenkesheng's body for either of their good. It's over, Wenkesheng says eventually. Zhou Zixu isn't entirely convinced. He fondles Wenkesheng where he's still hot and needy. What does my Lao Wen want to do with this? Wenkesheng squirms and bats Zhou Zixu's hand away. I can deal with it myself. You stayed. That was enough for me. Philanthropist Wen, Zhou Zixu scolds mildly. Are you being noble or are you being honest? Ah, Shu, Wenkesheng protests. I am covered in oil and there's leaves stuck to me and I'm dripping with... No, I'm not being noble. I just want to bathe so you don't have to... So we can forget about this. There's no water nearby, Lao Wen, Zhou Zixu says softly. Wenkesheng wipes his face viciously with one hand and takes a shaky breath. I know, okay? I know that. Don't be so tough, Zhou Zixu tells him, and wonders if Wenkesheng remembers telling him the same thing before sucking the poison out of the bite on his shoulder. Hold still. Not the same, Wenkesheng says with a gusty sigh. He does remember. That makes Zhou Zixu feel warmer than such a small shared memory should warrant. It's a little bit the same. Wenkesheng watches with wary eyes as Zhou Zixu guides him to lie on his side, with one knee tucked up to his chest. What are you doing? Wenkesheng asks in a hushed whisper, even as he goes where Zhou Zixu gently pushes. Zhou Zixu spreads his ass with a steady hand. Wenkesheng didn't lie. There's Yu Baiyi's spend smearing messily around Wenkesheng's opening, already drying gluey and unpleasant. Zhou Zixu doesn't answer Wenkesheng's question, just bends his head and licks some of the mess away. The texture is terrible, but at least he can't taste it. Wenkesheng makes an agonized sound and curls tighter into himself. Zhou Zixu leans to the side and spits in the dry leaves. Shu, you can't do this for me. Stop me, Zhou Zixu says, and kisses the base of Wenkesheng's spine. He licks Wenkesheng again, laving away oil and cum, leaving behind wet, bare skin. Wenkesheng moans in broken half-steps, like his voice is falling down a flight of stairs. Zhou Zixu refuses to swallow any of it, pausing often to spit. He spreads Wenkesheng wide and coaxes him open with his tongue, soothing sore, swollen flesh at the same time as removing traces of Yu Baiyi. He can't replace the seed inside Wenkesheng with his own, but he can eliminate it. He can wash Wenkesheng in this old, primal way, like a wolf licking afterbirth off the fur of her pups. And when he's done, they'll be clean. Wenkesheng's wispy moans have words around their edges. I can't, and Ashu, and a wide variety of curses. One last mouthful of cloddy spend spat onto the ground, and Zhou Zixu is satisfied. He rolls Wenkesheng onto his back again. Wenkesheng is shivering, tear tracks running down the side of his sharp nose. So much fuss, Zhou Zixu says, and picks a piece of bark off Wenkesheng's hip, then flicks it off into the trees. Don't be a baby about opening up to me. It's what I want from you. I would never suck cum out of your ass, Ashu, Wenkesheng says shakily. That's mad. You're a lunatic. He breaks into a thready giggle for no reason. I can't believe I'm the sane one. That's fine. Zhou Zixu doesn't plan to get fucked by Yu Baiyi before he dies, and if Wenkesheng ever finishes inside him, he won't mind feeling dirty for a while. There's one last thing to do. Zhou Zixu slings Wenkesheng's thighs over his shoulder and takes him in his mouth. Wenkesheng yelps and curls up off the ground, muscles cording tight as iron, but Zhou Zixu pushes him back down. Wenkesheng obliges halfway. He leans back on his elbows and tips his chin down to stare into Zhou Zixu's eyes. He groans and his hips twitch. Joseph's Jew raises an eyebrow at him. It's like you've never had your cock sucked, Lao Wen. I can last, he swears, eyes still wet and chest heaving. It's just, Ashu, you're gorgeous, do you know? You must know that your subordinates always wanted to fuck you. Han Ying would throw himself to a pack of feral dogs if it meant he could touch you once. I understand how he feels. It's not that Joseph Xu isn't aware his face is well-formed, but he knows it's a cold beauty, eyes wide and doe-like, but made of ice. He liked that about being disguised. When he left the window of heaven, he traded looks for warmth. He was ugly, but he learned how to laugh without first breaking into bitter tears. I don't want there to be a last time I see your face. I don't want the sun to set and leave me behind in the dark. Wen Kaxing pleads, and Joseph Xu sucks harder to shut him up. He picks up the speed of his tongue against the underside of Wen Kaxing's cock. If Wen Kaxing is overtaken by orgasm, he won't be able to speak. To Joseph Xu's relief, it works, and Wen Kaxing's unbearable words dissolve into incoherent babble. Wen Kaxing bucks and writhes as Joseph Xu brings him to his peak. He spills with a rough exhale, and several jerks of thick, tasteless fluid in Joseph Xu's mouth. Joseph Xu swallows what he can and briskly licks up what's left on Wen Kaxing's cock and his own chin before it can dry. Ew, Wen Kaxing says, narrowing his eyes. You aren't even going to spit it out with the rest? It's yours, Joseph Xu says. He wipes his chin with the back of his hand and shrugs. Not so bad.
Joseph Xu, Joseph Xu,
Wen Kaxing sighs. You sweet virgin, all cum tastes the same, except my Ashu's, which I presume is perfumed like the sweetest honey. Joseph Xu says. You're mistaken. It tastes like good wine, obviously. You drink enough, Wen Kaxing says and kicks him. Joseph Xu rolls away from the assault, then stands. He offers a hand and hulls Wen Kaxing's long body upright again. Have you considered, Lao Wen, that you don't drink enough? Wen Kaxing wobbles, then almost steps on the wet leaves where Joseph Xu spat Yu Baiyi's cum. He wrinkles his nose so dramatically it lifts his upper lip to show a flash of his front teeth. With a horrible flash of premonition, Joseph Xu imagines Cheng Ling coming across that mess and having questions. He kicks some dirt at it, then some leaves, then some more leaves just in case. Joseph Xu supports Wen Kaxing by the elbow as he slips on his inner robes, and then lets him finish dressing on his own. Soon he's pristine again, except for a few stray leaves in his hair and leftover redness around his eyes. Nothing can be done about the blotchy face, but Joseph Xu pulls a comb out of his sleeve and directs Wen Kaxing to sit on a nearby fallen log. Wen Kaxing pats the moss growing on the rotting bark absently as Joseph Xu starts working the teeth of the comb through his messy hair. Play you for who goes to tell the riffraff that we're finished? Wen Kaxing asks, twisting around and holding out his hands to demonstrate he wants to play one of his many favorite number-guessing drinking games. Joseph Xu sighs. He always loses at Chama. I might even let you win, Wen Kaxing wheedles, wiggling his fingers. No, Joseph Xu says. He pulls sharply on Wen Kaxing's hair to make him straighten out again. Wen Kaxing yelps and rubs at his scalp. We have to go fetch them eventually, Wen Kaxing says quietly, as Joseph Xu parts out a section of his hair and combs the tangles out of it, starting with short strokes at just the tips and working his way up to the roots. He pulls Wen Kaxing's hairpin free and brushes out that portion as well, then twists his hair up again and slides it back into place. Wen Kaxing tenses, then sighs. They know where we are, Joseph Xu tells him. Cheng Ling will return when he's finished his exercises, and Yu Baiyi, Yibai will come back when he's ready. Ha, Wangxing says. He reaches up to touch his hairpin, making sure it's sitting straight. Then settles his hands back in his lap. Yes, they do. The end.
When the pain gets you deep and the night keeps you from sleeping, just look and you will see I will be your remedy. When the world seems so cruel and your heart makes you feel like a fool, I promise you will see I will be your remedy.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!